277. Jesus sent the 72 disciples. 17th September 1945. After the meal, Jesus dismisses the poor guests and remains with his apostles and disciples in the garden of Mary of Magdala. They sit at the very end of it, near the calm water of the lake, on which some sailing boats are fishing.
"They will have a good catch,"
comments Peter, who is watching them.
"You will have a good catch too, Simon of Jonah."
"Me, my lord? When? Do you want me to go out and fish for our food for tomorrow? I will go at once and..."
"We do not need any food in this house. You will have a good catch in the future, in the spiritual field. And most of these will be very good fishermen like you."
"Not everyone, master?"
asks Matthew.
"Not everyone. But those who will persevere and become my priests will have good catches."
"Conversions?"
asks James of Zebedee.
"They will convert, forgive, lead back to God. Oh, so many things."
"Listen, master. You said before that, if a man does not even listen to his brother in the presence of witnesses, the synagogue is to admonish him. Now, if I have understood correctly what you have been telling us since we met, I think that the synagogue will be replaced by the church, the thing that you want to found. If so, where will we go to have our pig-headed brothers admonished?"
"You will do that yourselves, because you will be my church. So believers will come to you, for advice for themselves, or for advice for other people. I will tell you more. You will not be able only to give advice. You will be able to absolve in my name. You will be able to release people from the chains of sin, and you will be able to join two people who love each other, so that they become one body. And what you do will be valid in the eyes of God, as if God himself had done it. I tell you solemnly that whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you absolve on the earth will be absolved in heaven. And I say to you also, to make you understand the power of my name, of brotherly love and prayer, that if two disciples of mine, and I mean as such all those who will believe in the Christ, will gather together to ask for any just thing in my name, that thing will be granted to them by my Father. Because prayer is a great power, brother union is a great power, my name is a very great infinite power, and so is my presence among you. And where two or three people are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst of them, and I will pray with them, and the Father will not refuse anything to those who pray with me. Many do not get what they ask for, because they pray by themselves, or they ask for what is illicit, or they pray with pride or sin in their hearts. Make your hearts pure, so that I can be with you, then pray and you will be heard."
Peter is thoughtful. Jesus notices it, and asks him why. And Peter replies,
"I am thinking of the great duty to which we are destined. And I am afraid of it. I am afraid I cannot accomplish it properly."
"In fact, Simon of Jonah or James of Alphaeus or Philip, and so on, would not do it properly. But Peter the priest, James the priest, Philip the priest or Thomas will do very well, because they will be acting together with divine wisdom."
"And, how many times will we have to forgive our brethren? How many times, if they sin against the priests? And how many, if they sin against God? Because, if things will happen then, as they do now, they will certainly sin against us, since they sin against you so many times. Tell me whether I have to forgive always, or a number of times. For instance, 7 times, or more."
"I will not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. An endless number. Because also the Father of Heaven will forgive you many times, a great number of times, and you ought to be perfect. So do as he does with you, because you will represent God on the earth. Nay, listen. I will tell you a parable which will help everybody."
And Jesus, who was surrounded by the apostles only, in a box thicket, goes towards the disciples who are respectfully gathered in an open space adorned with a fountain basin full of clear water. Jesus' smile is like a sign that he is going to speak. And while he walks with long slow steps, so that in a few moments he covers a good distance without rushing, they are all delighted, and press round him as children gather round those who make them happy. It is a circle of keen faces, until Jesus leans against a tall tree, and begins to speak.
"What I said before to the people, is to be completed for you who have been chosen from the people. The apostle Simon of Jonah asked me, 'How many times must I forgive? Whom?' Why, I replied to him privately, and I will now repeat my reply as it is fair, that you should know now as well. Listen, how many times, how and why you have to forgive. You must forgive as God forgives, who forgives 1,000 times, if one sins 1,000 times and repents. Providing he sees that in man there is no will to sin, no pursuit of what makes one sin, and that sin is only the result of man's weakness. In the case of voluntary persistence in sin there can be no forgiveness for sins against the law. But with regard to the grief such sins cause you individually, you are to forgive them. Always forgive those who harm you. Forgive, so that you may be forgiven, because you have sinned also against God and your brothers. Forgiveness opens the kingdom of heaven both to him who is forgiven, and to him who forgives. It is like what happened to a king and his servants. A king wanted to draw up the accounts with his servants. He called them one by one, beginning with those who were in the highest positions. There was one who owed the king 10,000 talents. But the servant could not pay back the advance the king had given him to build his house, and purchase all kinds of goods, because in actual fact, for many more or less justified reasons, he had not made a very diligent use of the money lent to him for that purpose. The king and master was angry at his sloth and breakage of his word, and ordered him, his wife, children and all his possessions, to be sold until he settled his debt. But the servant threw himself at the king's feet and weeping implored him, "Let me go. Have a little more patience and I will give you back everything I owe you to the last penny." The king was moved by so much distress, he was a good king, and not only agreed to his request, but when he heard that diseases had been the cause of his lack of diligence and failure to pay, he also remitted his debt. The servant went away happily. But on his way out he ran into another servant, a poor fellow to whom he had lent 100 denarii taken from the 10,000 talents received from the king. As he felt sure of the king's protection he thought everything was permissible to him, and he seized the unhappy fellow by the throat saying, "Give me what you owe me." In vain the man stooped weeping, to kiss his feet imploring, "Have mercy on me as I have had much bad luck. Have a little patience and I will pay everything back to you to the last penny." The cruel servant sent for militiamen, and had the poor wreck taken to prison, so that he would make up his mind and pay him, or lose his freedom or his very life. The friends of the unhappy man came to know about it, and being very upset, they went and told the king and master, who, upon hearing the news, ordered the pitiless servant to be brought before him, and looking at him severely said, "You wicked servant, I helped you the first time, that you might become merciful, that you might become a rich man, then I helped you, by remitting your debt, when you implored me to have patience. You did not have pity on your fellow servant, whilst I, a king, had so much pity on you. Why did you not treat your fellow servant as I treated you?" And in his anger he handed him over to the jailers, to be kept by them until he paid everything back, saying, "As he did not have pity on one who owed him very little, while he had so much pity from me, who am a king, so I will no longer have pity on him. And that is how my father will deal with you, if you are pitiless towards your brothers, if you are more guilty than a believer, after receiving so much from God. Remember that it is your duty to be more faultless than anybody else. Remember that God gives you a great treasure in advance, but he wants you to render an account of it. Remember that no one must be able to grant love and forgiveness like you. Do not be servants exacting much for yourselves, and giving nothing to those who ask you for help. As you do to others, it will be done to you. And you will be asked to give an account of how other people behave, if they have been led to good, or to evil by your examples. Oh! If you have sanctified people, your glory in heaven will be really great. But, likewise, if you have been corruptors or only sluggish in sanctifying, you will be severely punished. I say to you once again, if any of you does not feel like being the victim of his own mission, let him go away. But let him not fail in it. I mean let him not fail in what is pernicious to his own, and other people's perfection. And let him have God as his friend, always forgiving your weak brothers from your hearts. Then each of you, who will thus forgive, will be forgiven by God the Father. Our stay has come to an end. The time of tabernacles is close at hand. Those to whom I spoke separately this morning, as from tomorrow, will go ahead of me announcing me to the people. Those who are staying must not lose heart. I have kept some of them for prudential reasons, not because I disdain them. They will be staying with me, and I will soon send them as I am now sending the first 72 disciples. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are too few compared to what is needed. So there will be work for everyone. But that is not sufficient. So, without being jealous, ask the Lord of the harvest to send new laborers to his harvest. In the meantime, you may go. During the past days, the apostles and I have completed your instructions on the work you have to do, and I have repeated to you what I told the 12 before sending them. One of you asked me, how will I cure in your name? Always cure the spirit first. Promise the sick people the kingdom of God, if they can believe in me, and once you have ascertained their faith, order the disease to depart, and it will go away. And do likewise with those whose souls are ill. Stimulate their faith first of all. By means of sound words inspire them with hope. I will then come to grant them divine charity, as I put it into your hearts after you believed in me, and hoped for mercy. And be not afraid of men or of demons. They will not hurt you. The only things you are to fear are sensuality, pride, avarice. Through them you would hand yourselves over to Satan and devilish men, who also exist. Go therefore, preceding me along the roads of the Jordan. And when you arrive in Jerusalem, go and join the shepherds in the valley of Bethlehem, and come with them to me, in the place you know, and we will celebrate together the holy feast, and we will then go back to our ministry more invigorated than ever. Go in peace. I bless you in the holy name of the Lord.